Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go. Good morning, everyone. My name is Tyler. Thanks, Bart. I'm the lead pastor here. Very glad that you are here with us. If you're joining us online, I just want to remind you we are going to be partaking in communion together later in the service, so be sure to get perhaps some juice and some bread if you desire to participate with us. And for everyone who's in here, you should have one of these disposable packages with you. We have two more weeks on this Reneighboring series. So for those of you who have been really enjoying this series, only two more weeks. And for those of you who have thought this has dragged on a little too long, just two more weeks. Just stick with me for two more weeks. And this morning we're going to be talking about something, well, it's a word that you may have heard at church before. Some of you may not have heard this word. And when I tell you what this word is, some of you will be confused by this word. Some of you will say, well, this is an awfully insidery word. I wonder why Pastor Tyler wants to preach on it. Some of you might actually think of this word with a level of suspicion because you're not exactly sure what the point of it is. And some of you, because of bad experiences, perhaps in the past, you're not going to like this word at all. But I think this word is going to be, well, it's very important for us to understand what it is. And the word is membership. Church membership. Church membership. That's what we're going to look at today. That's what we're going to be diving into today. And I want to clarify this because there are some of us in here who have been members for a very long time at this church who don't understand what that means. And there are some of us who have been here for a really long time and who have committed and been devoted to the work of this church, but have never become formal members. And you might assume that you are a member of this church, but actually, there is a process, a formal process, by which we bring someone into membership. And I think this process is extremely important. So why? Well, we're going to get into that today. So I'm hoping to kind of address some of those suspicions that you might have about membership, address some of the questions that you might have. Because here's something very interesting. You may not know this. In Canada, for whatever reason, and I'm sure there are plenty of reasons, and I'm sure people have done studies, I have done none, but for whatever reason, in Canada, church membership is taken with quite a lot of suspicion. In fact, only half of the people who regularly attend some church in Canada are actually members of that church. Interesting. That's not true everywhere in the world. In fact, in the States, one of the first things that someone does as they join into the life of a church is to start the formal process of membership. That's one of the first things. And in fact, I've spoken to a number of American pastors who have started a ministry here in Canada, and many of them are confused and befuddled and a little discouraged at the Canadian reticence to become a member of a church. It's not true everywhere, but it is true here. So I'm hoping that we can work through why we do membership. What's the point of it? So I'm actually going to look at three questions. And here are the three questions that we're going to address. One is membership. Is it biblical? That's an important question. Secondly, membership. Why do we formalize the process? Why do we need a process for membership? And thirdly, what do members do? So I'm hoping for those of you who are members, this is going to be a great reminder. And for those of you who aren't a member, but you're committed to this church, or maybe you're just joining us for the first time, I want you to know what you would be stepping into to join our body formally as a member of the church. Okay. So I'm hoping all of us get something out of this. I've called this sermon Remembership. We are going to remember what membership is all about. So here's the first question we're going to talk about, and I think this is so important. Is membership biblical? I'm sure many of you who have not gone into membership or not decided that you're going to go forward with that have this thought. You look through the New Testament, and you don't see a formal way that the Bible describes a church bringing on members. And so, since it doesn't seem clear that it's biblical, then you decide that, well, I'm not going to go through with it. It's really not for me. And at one level, you're absolutely right. When you look through the New Testament, we are not given instruction as to how to do church membership. It is not there. You won't see it. But you will also admit that there are plenty of things that a church does, that plenty of churches do, that aren't strictly speaking biblical, but are justifiable means of a biblical end. There are things that we do that aren't spelled out for us in Scripture, but serve to fulfill something that we are meant to do as a church in the Bible. For instance, let me just as an example. There's nothing in Scripture that says that a church should have a sound system, right? Nothing that says that. There's no process for having a sound system. But why do we use a sound system? It's to serve a biblical purpose. We are to preach the Word of God, and the sound system enables us to fulfill what God has for us to do in preaching the Word of God. Same thing with, for instance, a band or a piano. We are to call out our praises to God and sing our praises to God. It doesn't tell us we need to have a band, but it is a justifiable means to a biblical end. And I believe membership is the same way. It is the way by which we are obeying Christ and doing something that the church ought to be doing. And this is what the church needs to do, any church. We are called to be accountable to and accountable for one another. We are called to be part of a defined local group of believers such that we will be accountable to one another. Let's see this in the Scriptures. Take a look at this passage here. In 1 Corinthians 5, 12 to 13, a church is getting instruction as to how it is to conduct itself. How is it to live out following after Christ? And there were many in that congregation who were judging people and disciplining people who were outside of that church. They were calling out people who were not committed to the life of Christ in that church. And this is the instruction that they were given. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. So a church is called to be accountable to and accountable for those who are within the bounds of the church community. It defines who the church community is. The church is not necessarily accountable for everyone who might step into the doors, at least not in the same way that a formal member is. So we are called to be part of a committed community, and membership is meant to be the dividing line between those who have declared that they are committed to this church body and those who have not so declared that same commitment. That's what it's meant to do. Obviously, if we're not doing well at keeping up membership and clarifying what membership is about, it can serve other purposes that we don't want. It can become an insider club or something like that. That's not the purpose at all. The purpose is for us to be able to declare, I want to be accountable to you, church, and you, church, are accountable for me. We are part of this community, and I am committed to being part of this community of believers. It defines who we are accountable to, who we are accountable for, and it also declares that we are accountable to the leaders and direction of the church. Here's another thing that we're going to see throughout the Scriptures. Again, we don't see a structural process by which someone comes into membership, but we do see on a number of occasions times when God's people formalized the community that they were accountable to. This was true in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel. Take a look at this passage here. God called Moses and Aaron, who were leaders of the Israelites, to define who their family of God was. This is what happens. Moses and Aaron took these men whose names had been specified, and they called the whole community together on the first day of the second month. The people registered their ancestry by their clans and families. And the men 20 years old or more were listed by name, one by one, as the Lord commanded Moses. So here it is. God's people, the Israelites, were called to define the borders of their community such that they would be accountable to one another and to their God within the context of that community. Now, obviously, that's Old Testament, and wow, a lot of things has changed since that time. So do we see any evidence of that happening in the New Testament? And yes, we do. Here's another passage. The Apostle Paul, who was a messenger of Christ, was instructing this younger man, Timothy, who was leading a church. And Timothy had a bit of an issue. He had all of these people, all of these widows, in fact, who were asking for support from the church. And Paul gives him this instruction, and he tells them who Timothy is accountable to in terms of support and who he is not accountable to. And it came out in a list. Here's what the passage says. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. So here's a list that Timothy was to write up in order to declare, in order to formalize who he was responsible to in terms of support and who he was not accountable for in terms of support. And we are taking that same idea that's clearly in these, at least these two passages of Scripture, and applying it church-wide. We are defining a community. We are defining those who are saying, I'm in. I want to be part of this family of God. I want to be committed to this family, to this church. I want to serve this church, use my gifts in this church, and be accountable in this church. So the question was, is membership biblical? And I would say that membership is a justifiable means to a biblical end of forming a committed, accountable, strong family of local believers who love one another and love God in a local context. So that's the first question. Is membership biblical? I believe it is. Secondly, why formalize membership? Why have a process? Here's what I mean by this. We could say, you know, if you've been at church for several weeks in a row, maybe 8 weeks in a row, we simply put you on the list. You become a member because you're here. We see you, you're here, you've been here 8 weeks in a row. You're now a member of the church automatically. Why not just do that? And I think this is crucial. I think this is key. The reason why we have a formal process of bringing someone into membership is because the members of Richview Church direct the church. The members lead the church. And so we need to ensure that we have a healthy membership such that our church will go in healthy directions. Our church membership needs to be led by the Holy Spirit, following Christ, devoted to Him, know the gospel, so that when they vote or when they make decisions or when they bring in a new pastor or when they are asked to be an elder or a deacon of this church, we can be confident that they will be led by the Holy Spirit and do what is best for God's glory and honor and the people here at Richview Church. So that's why we have a formal process. And the process isn't arduous. I'm going to tell you what it is. Here it is. First, you pick up an application. You can get this either online or if you go to richviewchurch.com/membership, you can get it online, or you can get one at the door. You could get this at any time. You fill out that application, you hand it in back to the church, and then the next step is you have an interview with two of our elders. And once that interview is finished, we will vote in whether or not you will be a member of this church. That's the entire process, an application and an interview. And in that process, this is what we are trying to discern from those who want to be members of Richview. Here's the first thing. We have a formal process in order to ensure the people directing the life of Richview Church are genuine believers. So through the application process and through the interview process, we are asking, what is your journey of faith like? Who is Jesus? What is the gospel? What do you believe about Scripture? And how are those things interacting with your life today? How has Jesus changed your life? We are looking for people who can articulate and do believe the gospel. They can articulate that we are sinners, fallen, and that we have no way to be saved outside of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Jesus went to the cross to pay for our sins. And when we believe on Christ, and when we follow him, we are declared sinless, forgiven, free from sin. And when we are before God, he will bring us into his glorious presence forevermore. That is the gospel. And we are looking for people who join our membership, who are directing the church to know that that's what we're about. This is why people who are part of our church must be baptized believers. We believe that is such an important mark of someone who truly believes in the gospel of Christ, that they have followed Christ's command to be baptized. If you aren't baptized as a believer, why not? Follow Christ's command to be baptized. He commands it. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. If you're not baptized, why not? And I know that the elders are not infallible, okay? They can't infallibly know whether or not someone is a believer in Christ. But we are looking to God to discern the signs of someone who has been changed by the Holy Spirit, who has been born again. If we want to be a church that is led by the Holy Spirit, we want to ensure that those who are members and directing our church are led by the Holy Spirit. So important. Here's the second thing. We want to ensure that people who are directing the life of this church affirm our beliefs. Here's the thing. You can present everything like you'd be an ideal member at Richview Church, right? You could be enthusiastic. You could, you know, be here for a long time, committed to people, loving people. But it's only through a formal process of going through what Richview Church believes that we'll be able to unearth some flags, perhaps, in what you believe. For instance, how would we know whether or not you believe that Jesus is both God and man unless we had a process? It's very possible that someone who'd be eager to be part of our church, who has been here and committed for a long time, it's very possible that that person simply doesn't believe that Jesus is God. He could be, in this person's estimation, just a great man who did some great teachings and pointed people to God. That person would be ineligible for membership here because it's contrary to what we believe about Jesus Christ. We would hope that this process would open up an opportunity for teaching. Here's the thing. You know whether or not you believe what we believe. You know. You know if your beliefs match up with Richview Church's beliefs. But we don't, right? We don't know what you believe in. So we need a formal process to talk about these things and to give an occasion for questions and dialogue about what we believe. So when you get an application, if you get an application, it will have our statement of faith, which you will have to read through and affirm before becoming a member. And there are other documents as well that you would have to affirm. Third thing, to ensure the people directing the life of Richview Church will contribute towards Richview's mission. In the formal process, we are looking for people who are saying, I'm in. I want to use the gifts God's given me for the sake of this church. I want to use whatever God's given me in terms of encouragement, faith, prayer. Perhaps you're a great leader or administrator. Perhaps you love kids. Whatever gifts God has given you to serve this church, we're hoping that you, in this formal process, will commit to serving here at Richview. And so you need to know what we're about, what we do, what our mission statement is, what our four pillars of ministry are, such that you can join us and work alongside us rather than against us. I think this is so important for us to have a healthy membership because it's the membership that directs the church. The reason why I'm the pastor here is because the membership voted it. Our elders are made out of members. Our deacons board is made out of members. And so if we're not healthy in our membership, we won't be healthy as a church. So if you're a genuine believer, if you affirm what we believe and you're committed to the work of this church, the only thing standing between you and being a member is an application and an interview. So I'm hopeful that those of you who haven't decided yet now understand this is why we need this process. Because you know that you'd be a great fit here, but we don't know that quite yet. Finally, What do members do? Let's say you go through the process. Let's say you become a member. What now? And it's actually pretty interesting because I'm sure many of you who are members here, and we've got around 110 or so members at Richview Church, official members. I'm sure many of us kind of forget what that means. What have I committed myself to in terms of membership? And there are some of you who haven't been a member, who have attended here for a long time, or you've contributed to the life of the church in various ways, and I've seen that, and I'm so grateful and thankful to you, but you haven't become a member, even though you're doing everything a member ought to do, and I'm very thankful for you. So let's review what members committed themselves to as they became a member. In that application process, everyone was given a church covenant. And a covenant is essentially an oath you take out of love. If you're a member here, if you're one of those 110, you took this oath of love and accountability to other people in this church. And this covenant is simply a way of synergizing or bringing together what the New Testament teaches about how we ought to conduct ourselves in the family of God. And what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to go through it. And we're going to look at what it is. If you remember here, what did you commit to? What did you sign off on? And perhaps as we look through this, we'll say, I really haven't been fulfilling the commitments that I made as I became a member here. And for those of you who are not members, I'd say, listen in on what it is you would be committing yourself to as a vital part, an integral part of the life of this church. So here we go. Here's the church covenant. Now, it's a bit, the language is a bit lofty. It's a bit wordy. I'm going to try and break it down. Maybe we need to work on the wording of this a little bit for the future. But here we go. Here's the first section. Having, as we trust, been brought by divine grace to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to give up ourselves to him, and having been baptized upon our profession of faith in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, relying on his gracious aid, solemnly and joyfully renew our covenant with each other. So far, it's essentially saying, I'm a believer in Christ, I've been baptized, I believe in him, I've been forgiven, I'm living a new life, and the following commitments I make to this local church. Here's the first one. We will work and pray for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We looked at this verse, where this comes from, last week. We will work and pray for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are not going to create factions. We're not going to look for division. In fact, we're going to do the opposite. We are going to work for and pray for unity in our church body. We are going to find ways forward instead of dividing, instead of factioning, instead of going off in all sorts of different directions as a church. We are going to work, because it's hard work, work for and pray for unity, that we might be going in the same direction with each other. We committed to that. Here's the next one. We will walk together in brotherly love as becomes disciples of Jesus Christ. Exercise an affectionate care and watchfulness over each other and faithfully admonish and entreat one another as occasion may require. In other words, we are to love one another and encourage each other when we are doing well, and also even admonish one another when we see that there could be something that we are missing in the life of faith and in following after Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, in a church this size, this is kind of hard to do, because I don't want you running over to someone you know you don't even know and say, hey, you're doing this wrong. I don't want that at all. So what we need to do is, well, break down our community into smaller bits of people who can be further accountable to each other than we can be in a big group of 120 or so. So the answer to this, I believe, and the way that we can fulfill this part of the covenant is to be part of a community group. I guess the question I have for you if you're a member is, how are you fulfilling this part of your oath? How are you faithfully admonishing and entreating other as occasion may require? And I think the context by which you can do this is community groups. And so if you're a member here, I think community groups is just so vital to fulfilling your oath as a member. Here's the next part. We will not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, nor neglect to pray for ourselves and others. So we're going to be here, and we're going to pray for one another. When the church assembles for Sunday morning worship or other occasions where the membership is called upon to assemble, we're there. That's the oath we took. That's the oath we took before each other and before God. We will not forsake assembling of ourselves together. So we're so glad that you are here. And if you're a member, please be here. Next part. We will endeavor to bring up such as may at any time be under our care in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and by a pure and loving example to seek the salvation of our family and friends. This is a very wordy way of saying, be a holy example, a godly example to your family and friends, and intend to bring up your children and your family in the Lord. All that's saying there is that you're committing to doing that in your sphere of influence. Next part. We will rejoice at each other's happiness and endeavor with tenderness and sympathy to bear each other's burdens and sorrows. We will rejoice with those who rejoice amongst us and weep with those who weep amongst us. That is something that we have committed to as a church. And I just want to draw out a practical way that this ought to be happening. If there is someone at this church, for instance, who goes to be with the Lord, and we have a memorial for that person, or there's a member in our church who has a close loved one tragically pass away, that volunteer list that we have suddenly, in an instant, becomes a volunteer list. The entire list, all 100 and however many of you, it becomes a volunteer list right away because we have committed to each other that we will lift up each other in their times of sorrow. So that might mean, and you should expect, to be called upon to make meals for the person who's bereaved, to be part of the kitchen if they have a reception here, to be an usher or a greeter or to participate in the service at some level. That's just an example, but that's one way that the church membership has committed to loving one another, especially in those times of sorrow and grief. So, no doubt, should the Lord tarry, there will be another occasion for us to express to one another this deep love we have for one another in Christ by holding each other up during the most difficult times of their lives when they have a funeral or memorial that they are organizing. I hope that our membership is prepared and ready and expecting to be part of those things. Next section. We will seek by divine aid to live carefully in the world, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, and remembering that as we have been voluntarily buried by baptism and raised again from the symbolic grave, so there is on us a special obligation now to lead a new and holy life. This is a commitment to grow in Christ, to follow him more closely, to love him more deeply, and to love others as ourselves more readily, to live the new life that God has called us to, the new life that is pictured by our baptism. That's what baptism pictures, right? It says in this oath, it says throughout Scripture, that when we are baptized, we are symbolizing that we are dying to our old self and living again to our new self, the self that desires Christ. We die to the old self that was running after sin, and we live to the new self that desires Christ above all. And so we live in accordance with this oath. And again, I can't commend to you more community groups, which is the context by which people can encourage each other to grow in holiness, to encourage each other to grow in faith, and to obey more closely what Christ has for us. Next section. We will work together for the continuance of a faithful evangelical ministry in this church as we sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines. So you will participate in the work of this church and serve in the work of the church so that we can share the good news of the gospel, so that we can share Christ's love with our communities and with one another. I would say if I were to say this in one word, it would be serve. Serve. You know, if you're a member at this church and you've committed to be part of this church and you're not serving or not using all of the gifts that God has for you in this context, you just got to imagine, without you, we're kind of a church with our hands tied behind our back. We're short-handed because we need you. We need you to be part, a meaningful part, even a necessary part of the work of the church. And if our members aren't giving what they've oathed to give, then we'll be short-handed as a church. Next part. We will contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. This is an oath to give. And what you give is ultimately between you and God. You just decide what would honor Christ with your life, what would honor Christ with your finances. I don't know what that is. You might. But if you don't, and you're wondering, where should I start? Where can this journey of giving meaningfully towards the work of the church, where can that start? And I would say a rule of thumb is 10% of your income. 10%. However, the ultimate decision is yours. And if you're a member here, you have committed to this. What could you give the work of the church here, the work of the gospel here, that would declare to the world and to God, you're far more valuable to me than the number in my bank account. Far more worthy than my devotion to my savings. That's the question we need to wrestle with as we look to fulfill this part of the oath. Next. Each of us will, when we move from this place, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. Here's what this is what happens, and this is why membership gets a little messy after a long time. When people leave the church or no longer are fulfilling their oath in the context of this church, they don't give us a call and say, I'm no longer here. They just stay on the membership list. And after a long time, all of a sudden our membership list looks, well, it's a little wonky. It's filled with people we don't really know and aren't participating in any meaningful way here. So here's what I'd say. If you can no longer fulfill this oath, this church covenant that we've read, if you are not planning on fulfilling that, if you can't, if you've moved away, give us a call. There's no shame. We want you to unite meaningfully with another church body. We want you to grow in Christ. It doesn't need to be here. We want you to grow in Christ in some local community. Just don't leave yourself on the membership list here, because then you're going against the very oath that you made. We're not oath breakers at Richview Church. Christians, believers, we're not oath breakers. And so if you're not fulfilling your oath, give us a call and say, I no longer want to be a member of this church, and we will bless you as we hope that you continue to grow in another church context. And it closes like this. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. It's a pretty long document. There was a practice at one point that every time someone new came onto membership, the whole thing would be read. In fact, all of us would read it at once. And we've gone away from that practice, probably because it's a very, very long document. So maybe we need to do some work on that. But the spirit of that document is still among us. If you are a believer in Christ and you have brought yourself on as a member, that is the covenant. And if you're someone who's looking to be a member here, that is the covenant that you would be taking on. Now, you might think, okay, hold on here. Why would I go through a difficult process only to be more accountable? Why would I do that, right? And here's the thing. Membership is not like joining like a club where you get special perks. That's not what membership at a church is. Membership at a church is like joining as a member of a family with special, not perks, special responsibilities. Why would you join up for that? Because Christ is worthy. Because God is honored when we follow his word, obey his command, and commit to one another in brotherly and sisterly affection in a local church community. That's why. Why would you bring on more accountability? Why would you commit yourself to all those things? Because God is worthy. If you are a member here, my question for you this morning is, are you fulfilling your oath? And if not, what needs to change? And if you're thinking of becoming a member here and you haven't done that, or you've been committed to this church and you are committed to this church and you've never become a member, why not? What's stopping you? When we declare our membership, we are in essence saying, church, I want to love people here. I want to grow in Christ here. I'm committed to the people here. I want to know more of God here, and I want to be used of God in this local church for the glory of God in Etobicoke. Would you, with me, join in membership? Commit yourself to this local church body and be used of God with us all, going with us, not against us, in our mission to joyfully lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, these are challenging words as we are reminded of the oaths that we took, should we be members here. Lord, I pray that you would realign our membership to what we most value. Would you help us, Lord, to fulfill that church covenant, that we would be a people of our word, and that we would be committed to one another in brotherly and sisterly affections. That we would desire to give, that we would desire to be present, that we would desire unity in our midst, that we would desire to grow in faith and in trust of you, and that we would lift each other up in our sorrows and also our joys. Lord, would you help us with this? Would you help us to fulfill our oath and to be a united church community that loves you and loves neighbor above all else? In Christ's name, amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.